Thanks for your attention. I'm Dan Gibbons from the City Club of Chicago. Welcome back to the City Club of Chicago, to so many of you. Welcome any first-timers or non-members. You're all welcome. We hope you'll come back. This is going to be an incredible discussion, and we host so many great discussions. So on behalf of our board, and we have here our former board chair, Jackie Robinson Ivy, is here with us, and Jose Sanchez. Jose, who's also his day job, his side job when he's not on the board of City Club of Chicago, he's the CEO of Humboldt Park Health, on the front lines, as so many of you are, doing so much good. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, Jackie. And thanks also to our sponsors. You know, we have all these great discussions, but we can't host these without support from the community, support from the business community and others. So I do want to mention we have a host of sponsors, and we very much appreciate every bit of this. Advocate Health is here, Advocate Healthcare, Cook County Health and Hospital System, Lurie Children's, Dr. Shanley and your whole team, Respublica Group is here. Sinai Health, Doctor. So you're going to hear from a lot of these folks. I'm not going to get into all the introductions because we'll leave that for in a minute. But thank you to these health systems. University of Illinois at Chicago is here. Of course, Westside United, who kind of brings us all together for today. Cozen O'Connor Public Strategies is here, as is Win-Win Communications. So thank you to those sponsors. We very much appreciate it. And so many special guests. You know, we could go around the entire room. Our Inspector General is here, Deb Witzberg. Sean Garrett is here from United Way. I think Shannon Andrews is here. Great public servant. Hey, Shannon, it's been a while. Sandeep Nain is here. Rod Sierra. Rod. So many public servants, former public servants that are now doing all sorts of great things. Pat Carey, John Dunn, Jim Terman is here. Garth Walker, where are you, Doctor? Good to see you back. So many great people, and being here is important. We're talking about things that matter at City Club, and all of your presence here, you're moving Chicago forward. We appreciate it at City Club. We had a program here yesterday. It was called Betting on Main Street. It was pretty compelling. And after the program, I just took a ride out to Little Village just to kind of see what was up firsthand. And it's real. We were just talking about this at our lunch table. What's going on in our communities matters, and what you're all doing. So many of you are on the front lines. Little Village is hurting right now. I walked into a couple different stores. By the way, they have great hats at Durango. I encourage you all to check it out. But it's real. There is fear out there. There's you could roll a bowling ball down 26th Street, which is so unusual. And then you want two blocks. A New Life has a food pantry. There's a line around the block. This was yesterday at 3 o'clock. There's a line around the block. It's a beautiful building. They've got a big mural on it. It's painted. And everyone's proud of what's going on in the community. And there's a line around the block. So what we're doing here, if we're not on the front lines, we're all doing something, right? We're here. We care about the city. It matters. We're not doing enough, I will say, based on just my experience yesterday. Or maybe I won't say we're not doing enough. We can do more, right? And please keep doing what you're doing. You know, if you're not on the front lines like so many of these doctors in these hospitals, you can donate. You can volunteer. You'd step up. Use your comms companies, your lawyer, you know, your legal, your law firms. Do some pro bono work. We're all doing our part, and City Club brings those folks together, and I just so much appreciate you taking your time to be here and do your part to move the city forward. Thank you for that. I had to take a moment because yesterday was just it was very real. And take a ride. Go to 26th Street. Go to the South Side. Go see firsthand, and I think you'll want to do more. Okay, thank you for that. Thanks. It's a lot of good, especially here in Chicago. We're going to start. A lot of that good is on the West Side, and West Side United is an incredible organization that we've talked about a couple times here at City Club, and they've pulled us together today. And I'm going to hand this over to Eve. So Aisha Jacko, Eve Shapiro, their whole team, they're doing awesome things. We're going to hand this over to Eve, and Eve's going to get us started with the discussion and then introduce our panelists, and Sasha Ann will lead us in that part of the discussion. So if you will, please join me in welcoming the Director of Programs and Evaluation for Westside United, Eve Shapiro. Thank you.
Thanks so much. We're really looking forward to this great conversation with our amazing partners at our anchor institutions. So I'm just going to explain what Westside United is. We are primarily concerned with a devastating life expectancy gap that exists in Chicago. Chicago is one of the most racially segregated cities in America, and that has panned out in terms of life expectancy along with a number of other factors. So currently there is a 20-year life expectancy gap. You can go to the Chicago Health Atlas, look up this data, lots of other interesting data too. And on the West Side, that disparity is largest between West Garfield Park and downtown. So if there's a child born in West Garfield Park, they can expect to live to 67. A child born in the Loop would expect to live to 87. 20 years, that is almost a generation of life lost. When we first formed, we were interested in understanding what exactly was driving this gap, and so we worked with the Department of Public Health to do an analysis that looked at the ages and causes of death among Westside neighborhoods and compared that to the ages and causes of death in the Loop, and five main drivers emerged. So the one is really rooted in chronic condition, and that's cardiometabolic disease. So stroke, heart disease, diabetes, it was the number one driver of the disparity in 9 out of the 10 Westside neighborhoods. It was number 2 in that 10th neighborhood. Additionally, cancer, infant mortality, homicide, and opioid overdose are leading the charge. And we believe that if we achieve parity between the Loop and Westside neighborhoods in each of these conditions, that would account for 50 to 75% of the life expectancy gap, and we could see that gap close. And of course, these are the technical drivers of that gap, but we know that because of the segregation, because of systemic and individual racist policies that have existed in Chicago, a lot of that is rooted in assets that are available at the neighborhood level. So Westside United takes a very social determinants of health approach. We work in the field of economic vitality, education, health and health care, and neighborhood and physical environment, knowing that where people live and what they have access to or don't have access to, the safety of their neighborhoods, the quality of their groceries really impacts wellness and what they're able to achieve for their health. Our mission is to eliminate that life expectancy gap. It is a big mission, but we are excited to have our fantastic healthcare partners at the table to do that work with us. We were founded by 6 hospitals. You will hear from 5 of them who are currently partnered with today. We do our anchor mission work with them. And one thing that is very important for Westside United is to not just be an anchor institution collaborator, but also a convener of community. This is a project not just for community, but with community. So we have a community advisory board. Community set the planning stages of our organization. And on our board, we have an equal number of seats dedicated to our hospital staff alongside community members. This is a lot of information about our programs, but the main takeaway is that we have 2 main streams of work. The first is Thrive Westside. This is where economic and anchor mission work sits. And the other is Live Healthy Westside, where our healthcare programs sit. The programs on the bottom are highlighted for those that we work with our hospital partners on. So about half of our programming we do with our hospital partners. And under the anchor mission sphere, we have a lot of really excellent programming. We work with hospital staff in their procurement departments to introduce them to small businesses, get them to purchase more from Westside businesses and support the local economy. Work with HR staff to encourage them to meet with Westside job trainers to hire more people from the West Side. We also have really exciting impact investing and place-based investing that's occurred, including the Fillmore Laundry Linen that hopefully some panelists will talk about. And here's just a couple high-level indicators. So since we started, our hospital partners have hired over 6,600 individuals from the West Side. That accounts for 15% of their new workforce. They've spent over $257 million with West Side small businesses, which is really fantastic. Although you can see that accounts for less than 1% of the total spend. So there's room to keep spending money with these businesses, particularly as infrastructure is developed to support hospital needs like the laundry linen. So you can learn more about our impact here. But with that, I am very excited to introduce one of my favorite voices of Chicago, Sasha Ann Simons. She is an award-winning journalist and host, as you surely know, of WBEZ's In the Loop, a weekday morning news and culture talk show. She spent 5 years covering the Chicago region after working at Washington's NPR station WAMU as a host and anchor on newscasts and talk programs. Sasha Ann was also a national reporter focused on issues of race, identity, and economic mobility. Her accolades include a regional Edward R. Murrow Award, a radio feature award from the National Association of Black Journalists, and multiple awards from the Society of Professional Journalists. Sasha Ann obtained a bachelor's degree in journalism from Toronto Metropolitan University and studied film and television production at American University. Please give a round of applause for our moderator, Sasha Ann.
Seat. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. I keep pinching myself because I've never been able to do these lunchtime events since moving to Chicago because the show was on from 11 to 1. So every time people would invite me to these things, I'm like, I'm sorry, respectfully decline. Now your girl's on at 9 a.m. So here I am. Second gig of the day. Oh, yeah. So good afternoon. I'm so honored to be here. My thanks, of course, to Aisha Jaco and the Westside United team for inviting me to take part in this very important discussion. I have been covering Chicago's life expectancy gap on my show for the past 5 years. When I was moving to Chicago, I remember a friend of mine, I reached out and I was looking for places to live, you know, trying to come from Washington. And I was like, you know, tell me more about Chicago. Like, what should I know? And, you know, he was like, you know, Chicago's the most beautiful, effed up, segregated city. I was like, wow, that's interesting. And then I got here and realized exactly what he meant. And so, yeah, thank you, Dan, for just kind of outlining what's happening on our streets right now. I talk about that as well on the program every day. So really excited to dive in on this topic. So let's get into the discussion. We're going to hear from Westside United's founding hospital CEOs, which include, and I'll call them up one by one. Let's go ahead and introduce our panel. First up, Dr. Robert Barish. Dr. Barish is currently the Vice Chancellor for Health Affairs of the University of Illinois Chicago. In his current role, he oversees the University of Illinois Hospital and Health Sciences System, UI Health, which provides comprehensive care, education, and research to train healthcare leaders and to foster healthy communities in Illinois and beyond. Dr. Ngozi Ezike. She became president and CEO of Sinai Chicago, Illinois' largest private safety net health system, in June of 2022. Previously, she was the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health and did a fantastic job, if I might add. She valiantly navigated the state through the most difficult waves of the COVID pandemic. Dr. Omar Lateef is joining us as well. He serves as president and CEO of Rush University System for Health and Rush University Medical Center. Rush has set the nation's standard in healthcare quality and safety, modeled excellence in clinical leadership both regionally and nationally, as well as maintained its deep and long-standing commitment to health equity. We've also got Dr. Eric Mikaitis from Cook County Health. He provides executive leadership to advance the health system's strategic imperatives and ensure the provision of high-quality care and services in collaboration with Cook County Health's medical and business leaders. Dr. Mikaitis was appointed as CEO in October 2024 after serving as the interim CEO since November 2023. And last but certainly not least, Dr. Tom Shanley, President and CEO of Lurie Children's. He became a CEO back in December of 2019. He's a pediatric intensive care physician and researcher who joined the organization 4 years prior to that. This is our panel. All right, so let's dive right in. Dr. Lateef, I'm going to start with you. Listen, this is my full transparency. Dr. Lateef was on a panel I did last month. I started with him then. He tore the house down. Mic drop. The rest of the panelists were put to shame. No, I'm kidding. No. I mean, I'm going to start with you, though, for sort of an overview. I understand that Rush's 2016 Community Health Needs Assessment, that really set the stage for the creation of Westside United. So just, I'm asking you to share more about how Rush initiated this collaboration, because also, as Eve alluded to already, I mean, you're keeping in mind the roles that structural racism and historical disinvestment have been playing. You're balancing that with this goal to address this 20-year life expectancy gap. So where do you even start?
So thanks for having me, and thanks for putting me next to Ngozi, who's scared to play me in basketball. I just want to put that on the record. It's live streamed. It's recorded. I'm not the one running from the game. You know, it turns out it's far more lucrative in healthcare to write about inequity. So as far back as you go, you can find a disease and then look at the different races of the disease and write a paper that shows that if you're black or brown, you're going to have a worse outcome than if you're white. So you could do heart disease. So you could look at ER visits and what happens when a person comes to the ER and what's their likelihood of getting a cath and break it down by racial lines. And you can get it published, and then you can get it promoted to associate professor, then professor. You can get invited across the country, and then you could write a book. Right? That's very lucrative. It turns out if you want to fix that, and say breast cancer as an example, we knew from work done at Mount Sinai, sentinel work that was done in Chicago, that there was a 5 times, 6 times higher mortality of black women than of white women in the area. And so we published that. But it turns out if you want to fix that, you have to put a mammography studio on the west side of Chicago. It turns out if you want to fix that, you have to go to the south side of Chicago and put a clinic there. And you have to put that clinic there instead of a dermatology clinic in Winnetka. Just think about that for a second. So why is it far more lucrative to write about the problem? It's far more lucrative to write about it than solve it, because people are dying not because of gun violence. That's an easy excuse. Well, they're from this neighborhood. They must be dying from gun violence. That's not only nonsense, it's factually incorrect. And we just saw a slide that showed that. So we're sitting in a room at Rush looking at the death gap. And at the time, it was 16, 17 years. And we're looking at it, and you see the leading cause of death is heart disease and stroke, diabetes. It's not gun violence. And we know how to treat those. And we know how to treat them in some neighborhoods better than we know how to treat them in others. So why are we not? We're scared to talk about it. And we're probably scared more today, right now, than ever before to talk about it. So what happened after? So we set out and said, the problem isn't thinking big. Too big. The problem, as Larry Goodman said, it is not thinking big enough. What can we do? How can we drive this down? How can we change it? What can we? How do we take words and convert them to action? That was the birth of Westside United, from amazing people who have decided to dedicate their time and lives to crowdsource resources to take this gap of 16 years and make it better. And you know what we've done? It's 20 years now. It's five. We called it out. We built a program around it, and we're working to decrease it, and it's getting worse because we didn't fix problems that have taken hundreds of years to develop. But we're trying, and we're calling it out, and we're doing that work. And so in 2016, we realized that you have to work with communities. There's nothing worse than arrogantly rolling into a community, doing a project, and leaving. We realized we had to build trust within communities and have community leaders lead this work. It was less about any of us and more about them. And what the formation of Westside United was, to take our names out, all of us, right? You're looking at a group of people that are irrelevant and hiring a group of people that are dedicated to doing the work and crowdsourcing others to do the work together, to bring resources, to bring wealth, to improve health. And there's nothing controversial about that.
See what I told you guys? Dr. Barish,
you forgot to drop your mic, Homer.
Another one, yeah. Dr. Barish.
All right.
Tough act to follow there.
That is a tough act to follow.
But the model for Westside United, right. it's unique in that it brings together many health systems.
That's what I should.
As a national leader in medicine, what is it about this collaboration that you think stands out? Like, how is this model viewed across the country and even globally?
Well, thank you, Sasha. Omar, that was fantastic, by the way. I received a call in 2017 by Dr. David Ansel. I know he couldn't be here today, who wrote The Death Gap, Omar just talked about. And he had this concept of getting the healthcare providers together, not to compete, not to talk about service lines, but to talk about vitality, the things that you saw on the slide. That was 2017. And this concept grew. How do we do better together for the community, not about competition for patients? And it was very interesting. Wasn't sure at the time. I remember talking to Jose Sanchez, with another great leader, healthcare leader here in Chicago, and what you're doing at Humble Health. And talking to Rush and others, we decided to give it a go. Now, I sit on the board of the AAMC. That's the Association of American Medical Colleges, and it represents the interests of the 160 medical colleges, the teaching hospitals in the United States, and academic societies. And when I go to the meetings, and I'm going to be in San Antonio this weekend, they often ask me, how did you pull this off in Chicago? How did you pull it off? What can we do in New York and the other great cities? And it was basically what Omar talked about. We decided to put competition aside and think about the community. You heard about the vitality, right? Look at the jobs that were created. Incredible. Look at the money spent. And we can do more. You heard about the, obviously, life expectancy. But isn't it tremendous to create all these jobs in West Chicago and not to compete, but to be better together? So with that in mind, I went, Shasia, to the board of the University of Illinois. Now, to get something to the board of the... I know I'm being recorded, right, Omar? Okay. Well, let me just say something. To get something on the agenda of the board of the University of Illinois is no small matter. And the board of trustees of the University of Illinois really cared about the mission of Westside United. And so we are approved by the University of Illinois Board of Trustees as member in the Anchor Mission, and we have membership here. And that's, like I say, that's quite an accomplishment coming at the highest levels. So I know I have some other questions that I'm going to answer, but I will just say that we've also become a national model. I know we have other countries looking at us, Omar. We have Ireland. I know Singapore. So people are looking together. We are an economic engine. The healthcare systems in Chicago are economic engines, and it's our responsibility to make lives better for our communities.
And before I bring in Dr. Azike, what is it, Dr. Barish, that you think is the key thing that's standing out to these other countries when they look at Chicago? What's blowing their minds?
Yeah. You know, Sasha, I think it's the fact that we can work together. We are separate organizations, and we all have slightly different missions, slightly different expertise of where we want to go. But in this regard, we are committed to making our communities better. And that's something that I think other countries want to recreate.
Yeah, makes sense. Dr. Azike, the Sinai Urban Health Institute, it's a national model for data as well as evaluation. So talk about how your seat at Westside United's table has increased the economic vitality and the health of communities that are outlined in your collective vision.
Happy to, but hello. Before, since we are taped, can't be punked here. I'm going to set a date for this game. But,
and you are all invited.
Let's be clear. Like, I will sell tickets after this. But let's be clear. It's going to be 2-on-2, and I'm bringing my Stanford women's basketball player home.
Okay,
you bring your son, and let's go. Let's go.
I did not mean to start a fight.
My son's in school, so I'm going to bring Garth Walker.
Guys, this is about unity, remember?
Yeah. Or it's family game.
Sui, the Sinai Urban Health Institute, actually celebrating its 25th year of existence, and we have many of this wonderful team here. Happy Silver Jubilee. But Sui is forming, like, the helping with the metrics workshop. You know what they say, like, if it's not measured, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, or I like the one, you know, you've got to track it to tackle it. And so being able to look at what's being done is obviously critical so that we can not just have good ideas, but actually make sure that we are driving innovation and studying it to make sure that we're getting the outcomes that we want. And if not, can course correct. And so being able to have not just the traditional, you know, health-based metrics that are followed, but really understanding that there are some other metrics that are not in those standard numbers that involve sitting with community, that community-based evaluation. Dan mentioned it just a few minutes ago, right? So what you will be looking at in the standard health metrics won't capture the actual effects of what's happening today, right? If you, even this, you know, things are changing so quickly, like even what you were looking at, you know, a quarter ago, 3 months ago is different than what's happening on the ground today, as Dan mentioned. And so if you're not talking to the community and understanding what are the real things affecting their health, their physical health, their mental health, the fear of being abducted or kidnapped on your way to school or the grocery store, if you're not capturing that, you're not getting the whole story. And so I'm so proud of Sui and the incredible work they do to get all the data, you know, both that qualitative data as well as that quantitative data to give the fullest picture, because we all understand that health is not just about what happens in the doctor's office or in the operating room, but it's majority all the other stuff that's happening in community. And so understanding those pieces is what Sui brings to the table, and so proud for them to bring that fulsome effort to this work.
Dr. Mikaitis, Cook County Health is one of the largest in the country public health systems, and I want you to speak to how your proposed countywide doula enrollment supports are sort of tethered to Westside United's collective goals of supporting better birthing outcomes on the west side of Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having us here. You know, obviously everything we're talking about here is about health equity. It's about disparate outcomes. I just for a second want to brag on my team. Despite the federal pressures around health equity being a dirty word, we've doubled down and they actually achieved the health equity certification from the Joint Commission. And this is already during a time when it was very challenging. The doula work, you know, Omar mentioned mammograms, right? Black women are three times more likely to die of pregnancy-related complications in this country, and that's exacerbated in underserved communities. The doula program is aimed at trying to reduce that discrepancy. What doulas do are they're essentially accompany a patient through their pregnancy and then through the postpartum period to provide additional support. Think of it almost like case management. It's non-clinical, but it's kind of a supportive service. So we had incredible support from county leadership, from President Preckwinkle, from Commissioner Miller. To stand up this program, we partnered with PRISM as our partners in this work, and we to date have brought in six doulas. We're hiring for three more. The PRISM is hiring for three more, and it's still early, but we have engaged through 80 deliveries at this point and have probably triple that in terms of community outreach and education. You see with doula engagement, especially again in underserved communities, a reduction in C-section rates about 44% lower, improved labor processes, shorter labor times, better pain control, and then even in the postpartum period, more compliance with breastfeeding. So a lot of positives that come from doing that. So we're very hopeful. We're excited about this program. Again, still very early on, but we're hoping we'll see some movement.
Yeah, anyone who's given birth knows that that's a long time coming. Yeah, we needed that. Dr. Shanley, through Lurie's creation of Westside Healthy Parents and Babies, Westside United committed to providing multiple services to birthing parents in the area to address access to care barriers and high rates of preterm and low birth weight, some of the things that Dr. Mikaitis was just talking about. But you're doing this in communities like Austin, North Lawndale, and Garfield Park specifically. So tell us how this aligns with WSU's aim to address this life expectancy gap.
For sure. First, Sasha, thank you. And thanks to the City Club for the invitation, and quite an honor to share the panel with these esteemed folks. To get to that, I wanted to share just a couple personal, maybe cautionary and provocative tales. The
Sure.
first was how we became involved with Westside United. And it's actually personal because my son was doing an internship with CCA at the time that was engaged in the work that was starting to develop with Westside United. And I came home, I said, you know, what are you doing today? And he said, oh, I don't know, we met with a bunch of hospital people and they're trying to solve this age gap thing in terms of mortality. I said, oh. I said, where at? Well, I think it's Rush on the west side. I said, so who's their pediatric partner? Well, I didn't hear anything about pediatrics. Mm. And that is too common a fact about how we address healthcare. And Omar stated that we've gone from 16 to 20 in terms of the work that we've done. And I would just be provocative in stating that all of the things that you saw that are the number one causes of the gap start in childhood. And if we don't make the right early investments in childhood health, we are never going to close this gap. And so I thought it was very important that we bring our institution into this effort overall. Yeah. Very privileged to be able to represent an amazing team that started a program that started as what was called Teen Connect. And it was identifying teens that were pregnant in high school and getting them connected into management care, to prenatal care, appropriate counseling, and aspects like that. And so as that began to grow and Westside United leaned into the opportunity to address both maternal and infant mortality, we had an opportunity to continue to scale this. So now, in addition to getting the moms connected in, has had a significant impact on reducing preterm births. And now being able to cover the kids up to one-year-old with education aspects, and now expanding that to three-year-old with, actually, I don't know if Molly from the Schreiber Foundation is in, but a transformational gift from the Schreiber Foundation allowing us to expand that overall.
Yeah.
So, and the last thing I would just say, too, that was a realization for me personally. You heard I'm an immunology investigator. I studied all the genomics, all the cool stuff around DNA, right, the DNA code. And then when I was put in charge of a large research program that also was supposed to do community-engaged research, I came to the realization that your DNA code is not the most important code. Turns out your zip code is the most important code for your health. And that can't be the case.
Yeah.
That can't be the case.
Very important point. I'm just going to touch on something you bring up because it was the second time we heard it, just about the fact that we went from 16 years to 20. So essentially, we slid backwards. What gives you hope, though, that we can close the gap, Dr. Shanley?
Well, I think, first of all, as you're seeing reflected here, from my perspective, the power of Westside United has been the partnership that brings so many tables together and so many smart people together. And it brings it together also with not making the mistake that many of us have made earlier in our careers. We were called helicopter researchers, where we go into a neighborhood, we tell them what we want to study, and we study it, we take the results away, we never bring them back. And that is not the way Westside United has approached things. It is, and it's frankly not the way our community engaged work approaches things. Into the neighborhood, and Dr. Zike was mentioning this, what are the problems? What are you facing? How can we begin to address them? And that's the philosophy that this organization has taken. And so what we're learning, and it takes time to do that, and we've learned this in some of our interventions. We take 100 young ladies. This intervention may not work for some of them. Why not? And that's where the measurement core is so critical also to this program. And so how do we make sure that we're focusing and directing things that are having the impact, can focus resources in that way, not where they're unnecessary? So, and these are big problems. Omar pointed that out. This has been around for centuries.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time and commitment, but you also have a group of systems that have been resilient through a lot of challenges and are keeping their head, they're focused on what we need
right.
to do. So that partnership with each other and with the community is what gives me a great deal of hope that we can address it.
Dr. Latifah,
yeah,
are there barriers you can point to that still exist when it comes to collaboration? Is that part of it?
Yeah, so I want to do both. I want to give me what gives hope, and I want to talk about the barriers because they're connected. This is a really full room of people, and I feel like it's a safe room, and I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. And what gives me hope is that so many people came to hear about programs that have a singular goal of improving health and vitality of our communities. And I don't know if the room yesterday at the meeting was this full, but I know this room is full with some pretty important ballers from all over the city, state, and country. And that's a big deal. And what gives me hope is at a time where we're pushing against healthcare, there are more and more people willing to speak out saying it matters. And that has to give us all hope. It's in the darkest moments where we find innovative new ideas. And the fact that you're all investing in healthcare is huge. And the question that was specifically asked was obstruction. There are very powerful forces that have PR firms and tell stories that make it look like that we're evil people, that healthcare providers are not doing a good job, right? And that's not really helpful. Like, to be very real, that's not good. Like, 20 cents out of every dollar in this country goes to healthcare and 5 cents goes to providers. Like, 5 cents, but the burden of changing hundreds of years of inequity goes to providers. I think what we have to do is engage the other partners in healthcare that exist outside and say, you have to be part of the solution. You have to join Westside United. It can't just be a group of providers. It's not Enzike's problem to solve one of the most challenging neighborhoods healthcare issues alone. She has to have partners that are outside and have more resources than we have. And in that partnership, we'll grow together.
Yeah. Dr. Ezekiel, I mean, in what other ways are you working to achieve better health outcomes collaboratively?
Yeah. So, and just in thinking about that change from the 16 years to 20 years, I don't like to put this hat back on, but I do want to remind people, this is obvious, right? Vulnerable communities are what? Vulnerable. And so when vulnerable communities are hit with a global pandemic, they will have much worse outcomes. And we saw that all throughout our state and throughout the country.
And it would have been a lot worse if it wasn't for your leadership.
Yeah.
I'm going to correct Ngozi for 1 second. Chicago changed that ratio by accepting and transferring the most critically ill patients to our most advanced hospitals. And something amazing happened that Ngozi can validate. It turns out if you had severe COVID and you got a ventilator when you needed it and IV fluids when you needed it, your outcome was exactly the same regardless of the color of your skin. There's nothing special about the rush door when a patient walked in, but there was something amazing that happened when access was opened up and healthcare institutions took everybody. You saw the outcomes being exactly the same. We proved, one, that there was a problem because there was a 3 times higher mortality of COVID in Seattle and New York City. And then we proved that it's solvable in Chicago under this person's leadership.
Yeah.
We're still scared to play.
So we need, it also brings back, I'm back with my Sinai CEO cap that, you know, again, all of these issues cannot be solved by hospitals, but you do need access to healthcare. You do need access in these hospitals, and you need the hospitals that are in the communities of the most vulnerable people to be well-resourced and supported to provide the critical care that the community needs. And so, shameless plug, I do have a TED Talk out about this. Please check it out. But we do need to think about our safety nets and the role that they play in the healthcare ecosystem to make sure that everybody has access to the care that's needed. But specifically to your question from whatever that was, could you repeat it?
No, this is all good. And I kind of want to hear from everybody on this. I just want to know more about the ways in which you're working to achieve better health outcomes collectively. You can also just talk about, even with your specific organizations, the most important collective community investment that your institution's making on the West Side to impact this life expectancy.
We're doing so much.
Yeah.
No, let me mention...
It's the time for shameless plug.
Yeah. Let me lift up. I'm so shy of that, right? SCI, the Sinai Community Institute, has been in existence for 33 years. This is a real living, breathing example of, you know, community partnership with healthcare. This is an organization that was doing health equity before the term was hot and fashionable on everybody's lips. You know, going into the homes, providing the social services, providing the needs to the patients after discharge to make sure that they would not be readmitted, to make sure that they had all that they need to sustain their health. So that is the kind of model or the example. I feel like that's almost the framework for which an organization like Westside United is built on, that can look to that. And so while we have that star, you know, while we are a founding member of that, we also have in the last, I guess it's just 4 years ago, had this Ogden Commons Project. The Ogden Commons Project is a 200-something million-dollar project involving the Chicago Housing Authority, CineSpace, Habitat, a real estate community, to bring a bank, to bring local restaurants, coffee shops, to bring a new state-of-the-art outpatient surgical center, a dialysis center, bring these things to the community along with a beautiful, affordable housing for tenants. The first development of this kind for the North Lawndale neighborhood in over 50 years. And so being able to promote and have all of this satisfy, you know, uplifts health equity, uplifts economic equity, uplifts just wellness in terms of having a beautiful space to lay your head. You know, I think Omar was just recently talking about homelessness and how, you know, homelessness doesn't do well for your health, obviously. And so being able to have a safe space and a beautiful space and an affordable space to be able to live and raise your family and care is an important part of lifting up all of the community's health.
Dr. Barish and Dr. Makaitis, you first, Dr. Barish.
Sure.
More on investments that your organization's making to close this gap.
Yes, thanks, Sasha. Well, I think the biggest investment right now is our journey to become National Cancer Institute designee. We're hoping to be the 73rd in the nation. We have two in Chicago, at the University of Chicago and Northwestern. And obviously working with Cook County and with Sinai, they're helping us in this regard. So why is it important, and why does the National Cancer Institute really look to us and say, you know, we're very, very interested in your designation? Well, let's talk about clinical trials because, Tom, you just talked about patients react differently to treatment, right? So the majority of clinical trials in the United States for cancer are done on people that look like me. That's not what you want. And so the NCI says we need to diversify our clinical trials and our patient base. So at the University of Illinois Chicago, about 80% of our clinical trials are done on underrepresented minorities. Now, how does that compare to other, I'll call, Big Ten institutions? Some other Big Ten institutions have 5%, 8%, 12%. Almost nobody has 80%. So there's not a diversity in clinical trials across the nation, which means we are not serving, and the National Cancer Institute is really very, very interested in serving underrepresented minorities in a better way. So that's, I think, a major investment that we're making. And as I say, under your leadership and Cook County and others, we look forward to becoming the 73rd designated National Cancer Institute in the United States. Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. Dr. Makaitis.
Yeah, thank you. So I think, you know, it's apparent. We collaborate every day, right, as the health system's represented up here. You know, we have teaching and clinical service agreements with Rush and UIC. We work daily everybody up here is collaborating. I'm going to zoom out and hopefully not be too much of a wet blanket, but, you know, we heard Dan talking about the lines at the food pantry. Those lines are about to get much, much longer. In less than 48 hours, SNAP benefits are no longer funded. We're seeing threats to Medicaid that are going to come as a cascade. ACA, the tax benefits are going away at the end of this year. We're going to see work requirements. We're going to see increased cadence on redetermination, people having to re-enroll for their Medicaid benefits. everything we're talking about up here will be undercut by all of those things happening. So the right. question is, how do we, again, I said zoom out, how do we collaborate more broadly? How do we create a bigger tent? And how do we get people who are adjacent to healthcare, need a healthy workforce, are interested in having, you know, labor support, right? They're, you know, our unions, right? Our business leaders. They're 600,000 people stand to lose Medicaid coverage as all of these things start to roll in, just in Illinois. From a business perspective, $2.5 billion estimated loss to the GDP because of a sicker workforce and a loss of over $200 million to the tax base. This could be ruinous to all this type of work that we're talking about here. So with what we've started doing now is trying to pull in cross-sector representation to really have a more innovative discussion. We obviously, healthcare, health providers, FQHCs, hospitals, health systems, payers, we've engaged public health departments, state, county, and city, and then pulled in philanthropy, business leaders, technology leaders, academia, to really try to have an out-of-box kind of ideation discussion around how do we mitigate these impacts, right? We've had some great outputs from that first meeting. We're going to be spinning out some work groups there around messaging. We had anecdotal feedback from some people in the room that people aren't bothering to sign up for Medicaid now because they think the cuts have already gone into place. Mm-hmm. So to talk about collaboration, how do we zoom out and have a bigger tent and really collaborate so we get all of that input coming in and we can adjust accordingly and mitigate that impact?
Yeah. I want to open things up a little bit. Do folks in the room have questions? And where's Dan? He promised he'd have a mic.
While he's getting set, I want to talk mm-hmm. about something that was mentioned at the beginning, which was Fillmore Linen. I think that's important for all of us to just sort of understand. What Fillmore, so it turns out, like, yeah, you know, I became the CEO and I have no business training whatsoever. I'm a pulmonary critical care physician. And I went to meetings and people talk about words like EBITDA and operating margin and stuff like that. I had to learn what all that meant. So when I started to, it turns out that we have a lot of laundry linen. Like, we have a lot of sheets in the hospital, and we don't wash them ourselves. So what we do is an RFP, a request for proposal. And we did that, and we found a company, and that company that did it was in Wisconsin. And they would pick our laundry up, drive up to Wisconsin, clean it, and drive it back. And the idea was born, can we have one locally? And the Staines Foundation put up some money, and Westside United found people in a neighborhood to run it. It took years. Listen to what they did. This is big. They found local people to run it. We arranged and worked together collectively to find a loan to create it. We give them our laundry. They wash it. We get it back and pay back the damn loan. I'm no business genius, but it sounds like everybody wins. And they hired 300 people from the zip code. They changed the physical look of the neighborhood, and they created wealth in an area. And we use that as an example. And someone said, well, what can other cities learn? Everybody has laundry. Take that idea. Everybody needs coffee. Take that idea, create the businesses, employ the businesses, and grow. We can't do it. We're hospitals. And what Eric said is there's other people in this ecosystem that have to get on board, and they're not called to action. And we need to build more Fillmore linen, laundry linens everywhere. Now you should clap.
Yeah. Do we have someone in
the audience? I'm over here, and if you don't mind introducing yourself, please.
Absolutely. My name is Patrick Dombrowski. I'm the executive director of Collaborative Bridges. The question I had, you know, I think throughout these comments, you know, the weight of poverty has been implied more than spoke to directly. But, you know, considering you all have done so much research and analytics, someone who works and lives on the west side of Chicago, anecdotally, when there was the expanded child tax credits, things seemed lighter. So from a research perspective, has anything been done in terms of looking at that window to see if that's moved the needle at all on the life expectancy gap?
Yes. I'll start with that. I mean, and so to your point, understanding what we're trying to address is critical. And I'll actually tie kind of the last question, Sasha, in terms of investments we're making with this question, which is, so we had observed that there were two particular areas in the Chicagoland region that were utilizing our emergency room for primary care indications much higher than they should, and they were also having acute care admissions for chronic disease management that, if it had been being done better in the community, wouldn't need to be unnecessarily hospitalized. These are called avoidable admissions in the scientific term. So we identified two of these neighborhoods, one of them being Austin on the west side, and said, how can we begin to address that? To Ngozi's point earlier, it's not me. What do we need to do for you as families to understand how to begin to address this particular challenge? And it's a lot. I don't know who to go to. Even though I know where to go, I don't have access to this person, or I have to wait too long. I got a medication, I don't know how to use it, an inhaler I might not know how to use for asthma. I might not even be able to get it filled because there's not a pharmacy in this area. So as you start to do the needs assessment from the community basis, it defines for you how you set up a program to do that. And that's led us to lean into the West Side and partner with Stone Church and Pastor Jenkins. I don't know if Pastor's in the room, but to develop the Austin Hope Center, an anchor healthcare and social networking facility in Austin to meet the specialty needs, because the FQHCs in the area were fine. The community was fine with that support. What they were missing was the specialty care. And so now that we are going to be able to anchor in there as of next summer, looking at what the opportunities are to begin to change the needle on the chronic disease course. And so one of the areas, obviously, will be around cardiovascular health. That I still believe that the best way to shut that gap off is to get every kid to get into adulthood with zero of the 7 AHA cardiovascular risk factors. Mm-hmm. And so developing programs that drive to that, what I call the ideal cardiovascular state, is going to be another initial long-term goal for the organization. Now, you can't do that by yourself, right? You need the community organizations. You need the fitness areas and the gyms. You need safe open spaces. So there's a lot that needs to go into it. And the last thing I would just say is the importance. I say this to my team all the time. It is about feeling good, and I appreciate feeling good, but we want to make sure we're measuring good. Because some of the things that we try, we realize aren't making the difference and aren't moving the needle or closing that gap. So how do we re-innovate with the input of the community to think differently about what we're doing? So that's one of the ways that we approach it and investments we're making on the website.
Great question. Thank you so much. Do we have another one?
We've got another one right here in the center of the room.
Thank you so much. My name is Amelia Garza. I work with the Alzheimer's Association, and it's a pleasure to be here asking you all this question. You all have been such role models to me, and I've followed your careers for some time, so thank you for being here and for having this conversation. My question is around pride. It's around hope. Today in the room, we've heard a lot about health disparities, and I truly believe in the mission of Westside United because I believe that systemic issues require systemic solutions. We have heard time and time again of the health disparities that our communities are facing, and I just want to recognize that despite those disparities, we are here in the room. Our people of different communities are here in the room. As a Latino who has undocumented family, one of the things that I have become frustrated with is the continuous story, the single story of the disparities of vulnerability, because although we are going through a time right now, our communities are strong. Chicago is strong. And it's because of how we collaborate together that we have that strength. So I'm curious, how is Westside United not only talking about disparities, about burdens, about vulnerability, but how is Westside United creating spaces for communities to celebrate themselves, to have pride again in their community, and maybe to have hope?
Excellent question.
Thank you for that. And if there's something that our communities are, it's proud and resilient. And I think those are very shining features. I just want to highlight that one of the things that SUI, the Urban Health Institute, that they've been able to study in terms of understanding what has the convening of Westside United, what has it resulted in? Because people are sitting at the table intentionally trying to work on issues, they are not only working on that issue, But because everybody's already seated at the table, they can use that opportunity to now connect on other issues. So there is this wonderful, you know, ripple effect of collaboration that's happening, because once you're already seated there, you don't just have to talk about the things that are on the charter for Westside United, but you're like, hey, you can also be my partner in tackling these other things that are not even on this charter. So I think we're seeing bigger and deeper collaborations, and that's a good thing. And like I think Omar and Dr. Makaitis are saying, we need even a broader table. We need a bigger table with more people, not just healthcare, to come and dig into this big, juicy collaborative and figure out how we're going to take on these challenges with hope. So thank you so much for lifting that up.
Mm. Well, we've got just about 3 minutes left. And
can I just say one thing about hope?
Sure, but that man over there is going to come after me if we go over time. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Mike. I've been working on it. Look, here's what Westside United is not good at. They're not good at bragging. You want to talk about hope. There's a group of people that sits around. We haven't thanked any of them by name because they literally come to work and change things in a community every day. They don't have a PR team like other people have. They don't have a budget to go tell people what Sankofa is. They don't have the ability to say, we just built a basketball court that's going to save more lives and heart transplant programs in this table. They can't explain that the FQHC is going to make a difference in that neighborhood. I think what we should do to answer your question is to get Westside United a PR team to share the work that they've done, because right now it's free PR in Time Magazine, right? It's the Harvard Business Review featured Westside United. The MIT Sloan Management featured Westside United.
WBEZ has featured Westside United.
WBEZ has featured Westside
United. City Club of Chicago.
Right. What I'm saying right now is, if you want hope, just look at what it is. It's a group of competitive people coming together to make a difference, make an impact, and change lives. And it's not a shameless plug. It's who they are. And the work that they do, the only thing they have to do better is tell people, but it's against their nature. It's like not who they are or what they do. Like, we're in awe of it. And their single biggest concern is, how do we make slides so that nobody feels left out? Like, I'm in rooms and I'm hearing these conversations. Like, they're killing it. And they need people to share the work that they've done.
Yeah, no, I also have to weigh in. Sometimes I'm asked questions I don't have a good answer to, and that's one of them. So I appreciate it, because as I step away from to answer that question, we do need to celebrate what we do.
Right.
We do need to be proud for what our communities are doing. And when you actually are in them and go in them, you see the pride and the joy and the special gifts that are within these communities. We don't identify them enough. We don't celebrate them enough. So I'm going to walk away from that question and make sure that when we come back, we have a better answer in terms of the actual forum that we're able to do that, and the press and the PR team that Omar hires to do this.
I'll tell you, everybody at Fillmore Lennon,
Dr. Barish.
Everybody at Fillmore Lennon has a retirement plan. That's a celebration. Yeah. Think about that for a second.
Right. I want to say thank you to someone, and he's sitting at the table. Marcus Betts. Marcus, please stand up. You've been involved in this. Thank you for everything you do, Marcus.
And I have to share this before I let you all go. There was one more person who wanted me to chime in with a question here. Dr. Barish passed me this note that says, you can ask me about basketball.
Oh, no.
So he wants in on the conversation. So how's your jump shot, doctor?
I thought that was a private question. All right, so I have to answer that at the end, because I know we started with basketball, right, Omar and Ngozi? So my greatest claim to fame, Sasha, is that in ninth grade, I beat out a man called Gus Williams, who went on to win the NBA championship for the Seattle Supersonics. And he made me a video that I have cherished to this day that says, my greatest athletic achievement was his lowest athletic achievement.
Dr. Robert Barish, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, Dr. Omar Lateef, Dr. Eric Makaitis, and Dr. Thomas Shanley. Thank you all so much.
Sasha Ann Simons, thank you. That was an awesome conversation. I hope you'll come back also. Doctor, thank you. What a conversation. Keep doing what you're doing, please. Come back to City Club. All of you, come back soon. There's so much more to talk about. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Thank you.